Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome back again here on Circles of Change. And there's no finer opportunity for me than to spotlight truly an extraordinary event that happens here in Tucson, right here at the University of Arizona Mall, the Tucson Festival of Books. And what an idea to capture two people that are leaders of one of the organizations that are actually beneficiaries of the festival and really stand for what this is all about, which is literacy. So welcome to the studio, Carmen Marriott, as well as Tamara McKinney. How are you today, ladies?
Fine, thank you.
Doing very well, thank
Lots
you.
Lots of excitement and anticipation of this special event, isn't there?
Well, this is a great event for the community.
That's great. Let me introduce both Carmen and Tamara. Carmen is the current chair of the board of Literacy Connects. She's a nonprofit that is the convergence, actually, of four former programs as well as a coalition prior to the organization coming together. It's dedicated to literacy endeavors for all ages. Carmen brings strategic and organizational skills acquired after many years of practice in the legal profession, most recently as senior counsel for Raytheon Missile Systems, and before that she served with Alcoa. Prior to joining Literacy Connects, Carmen held board positions at the Reading Seed, as well as the Community Foundation of Southern Arizona. Tamara is program director of the Reading Seed Children Literacy Program and has worked in the nonprofit world for over 10 years. Beforehand, she worked for Booksmans Entertainment Exchange as community relations manager and at the University of Arizona, coordinating two national positive youth development programs. As an unabashed bookworm and a native Tucsonan from a family that celebrated reading and storytelling, she is passionate about education, lifelong learning, and her community. So I think this is hand in glove for both of you to be part of this event today.
That's very true.
Very good. Well, Carmen, maybe you can start us out and tell us a little bit of the story behind literacy coming up on such a well-deserved high agenda point for the greater Tucson community.
Well, I think it's really important to recognize that in 2007, the Southern Arizona Tucson Town Hall recognized literacy as one of the top five issues facing our community. And as a result of that town hall, the Literacy for Life Coalition was formed. Mm-hmm. And that was an opportunity to get all of the literacy providers together to work towards building a culture of literacy in Tucson. And several years after that, we decided to actually formally merge four programs mm-hmm. and the Life Coalition into Literacy Connects. And it's been an exciting time since July of 2011.
And, you know, that's almost an entire show in and of itself, the decision to get organizations to merge, because any of us that are in the business world know that quite often a merger is really an acquisition in sheep's clothing. But I get a sense from listening and talking to many of you within Learning Connects, Literacy Connects, that actually this has been a true happy coming to forces and coming to bear.
We can provide so much more together yeah. for the community. It's
so
been fabulous.
So the whole is much greater than the sum of the parts.
Yes.
That's right. Now, Tamara, in your case, you've been with the Reading Seed portion of this come together. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's right.
Yes, I was working with Reading Seed when the former merger occurred, and it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, I think, to watch four different programs, really five different separate nonprofits, go through the process of merging cultures and background stuff like HR and accounting.
Sure.
And then also just the programs themselves, who they serve and how they serve. So it's been a remarkable accomplishment to be where we are today.
Well, and I think an important one. I'm not originally from Tucson, as most of our listeners know. And coming here and recognizing the vitality of the nonprofit community, yet when it comes to you're trying to figure out which cause matches with your needs, there's so many that look kind of close and the same. So I think applaud the opportunity to get that whole to be bigger than the sum of the parts, as you said, Carmen. So here you are today, and you've got at right in our beck and calling the energy around the Festival of Books, not just to obviously match the mission that you two women and your colleagues are about, but obviously also add to some of the proceeds so you can expand your programs. How did that connection come together, Carmen or Tamara?
Well, many people don't actually know that in addition to providing two unbelievable days each year, kind of to be surrounded by books and authors and everything literary related, the festival was also created very much with the intention of supporting literacy programs in our community. And the founders went in with that intention. And since its inception in 2009, the Festival of Books has donated $700,000 to literacy efforts in Southern Arizona.
Right, which again, it's the cause and effect. You really recognize for our listeners that are coming down to the festival is not just to be a patron and get the opportunity to meet all these people, but in a way be part of that movement, really, is what you're staging up, Carmen. Well, in the whole idea of the necessity of language and literacy, meaning both writing and reading, it's so critical in very, very early years, isn't it, for youth?
We have found that it is a continuum. From birth to adulthood, it's a family issue. Mm-hmm. It begins with parents reading to their children when they're one day old and recognizing what a book is, whether you can read it or not.
It's true. We really believe that in order to solve the literacy issue in our community, our state, and our country, we really have to address the needs of every student at every age. So we offer programming through each of our programs to meet those different age needs. Would you like me to go through the different programs
that
we offer?
That'd be great. Just to set the stage, though, you're right, that when we say literacy, sometimes people view that means volunteers going into the elementary schools or early learning environments, which is, of course, critical. But if you look at some of the statistics that I know you folks shared with me in advance, that 1 in 5 adults in Arizona are functionally illiterate. So how can we necessarily expect the older generation to know how to engage and inspire the younger generation in absence of putting some energy there?
That's totally true. Absolutely.
But run through the programs for us.
So our early childhood education program is RORSA, which stands for Reach Out and Read Southern Arizona. Mm-hmm. And it is a program that's coordinated through pediatric clinics all over Southern Arizona, where at every well check, every child from birth through age 5 receives a new book from their doctor. And the parent receives coaching and education about the importance of reading to their child from birth all the way through until even when they think they're too old to be read to. Because there are magical things that happen in a child's brain and in their development when you're reading aloud to your child.
And I would say the same goes for us adults who, oh, my heart was about to break when I hit the final chapter in Harry Potter, reading the 7th book with my children, thinking, oh, my gosh, this is an experience now. But good news is they wanted me to reread all the books. But it is as equally important for the development of the adult brain, I would say, as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And after Reach Out and Read Southern Arizona, we have two different school-age programs. One of those is Reading Seed, which is the program that I coordinate and direct. And Reading Seed really has three main components. We train and support volunteer reading coaches, those volunteers that you were talking about who go into elementary schools. And we focus primarily on children in kindergarten through third grade who are reading below grade level. And those volunteers go in every week, the same day, the same time, mm-hmm. and provide the consistent one-on-one support and mentorship that these struggling readers really need to develop the self-confidence and the motivation to want to read.
To want to do it and actually get away from potentially the fear factors. And if I recall, I know some of your results, I've got them in front of me, from 2011-2012 that you touched over 3,000 children in that category. You had 700 volunteers, and you actually were able to measure that 85% of them increased their one grade level reading ability with what might appear to be such limited effort, but wow, what the payback is wonderful.
And our coaches know that they have limited amount of time to spend with each student, you know, a half an hour to 45 minutes per week. But what really makes that impact much more kind of measurable and definitive is the fact that these coaches working one-on-one, which is something that a lot of students at any grade level
can benefit from.
They don't get it, and they really need it, especially struggling learners. And then we also work on creating that interest and that motivation. And not only in terms of the act of reading, but what they're reading. So we emphasize the importance of book choice, that kids who are struggling with reading need to be given choices about what they can read.
And I think that's one of the things that makes our program unique, is that we meet the child where he or she is. And where their interest is. And if you want to read about trucks, you read about trucks. If you want to read about butterflies, you read about butterflies. And it's their interest that we're acknowledging as opposed to what we think they ought to be learning.
I have a visceral memory of writing that as when I was a young mother, another mother friend of mine, and she was really struggling that her approaching teenage son just really didn't have an interest in reading. And they'd had him tested and so on and so forth. I said, now, wait a minute. Tell me what's in his backpack right now. He says, well, all he wants to do is drag around Hot Rod magazine. I said, well, go buy him a subscription to Hot Rod magazine and you'll be a hero. It never dawned on her that, oh, gee, maybe instead of the classics, for where he was in his phase of his life, that keeping him hooked on that which inspired him. And by the way, the vernacular, who knows, he might not be headed off into a technical degree or an engineering program based on that interest.
But you want to understand what you're reading.
Yeah.
If you're interested in it.
That's true. So. And you'll search out additional people to talk through it with you, right?
And we see students become engaged in a way that their teachers are remarkably surprised by. What are you doing differently? What is the change? And more often than not is, well, we really talked with them about what are they interested in doing, you know? And those are conversations that teachers, unfortunately, just don't have time for during the course of the regular school day. So those conversations allow our coaches to find out what their passions are, what their interests are, and get them books about those subjects.
That's right, Carmen.
I was going to say, in talking with some of the volunteers, the most remarkable thing is that for them, many of them have told me personally, going to meet my student is the highlight of my week.
Right.
And it just makes, everybody feels so special.
And I do believe, and many of our listeners are resonate with this, we've talked about this here on Circles of Change, that when you look to give back or give forward, that in truth, there's an awful lot of it about satisfying your own need to be engaged, your own need to feel worth and involvement. And as well, I would imagine for your volunteers that participate with your adult learners, that must really be a profound shift. We underestimate how much of life passes people by without the ability to read.
I think what we say, it transforms people's lives, especially when you move into the adult sector. But mm-hmm. I'd like to talk about Stories That Soar.
Absolutely.
That's right, because it isn't just reading, it's writing, isn't it?
Yes. That's right. So the other school-age program that Literacy Connects offers is Stories That Soar, which is an incredible creative writing and performing arts program. So the most well-known sub-program of Stories That Soar is the Magic Box.
Mm-hmm.
And the Magic Box goes and travels to different elementary schools all over our city. And the Magic Box is hungry. It's hungry for children's stories. And the students at each school are introduced to the Magic Box, and they're told that it's hungry and that it wants your stories and it wants their ideas and their kind of original thoughts and wants to know what they care about. And for those several weeks that the box is there, the children fill it with stories. And the most important thing to remember is the Magic Box doesn't judge.
Right.
It doesn't grade. It doesn't mark students down for incorrect grammar or bad punctuation. And so they're inspired, and it's just their thoughts. And then several stories are selected, usually around 20 to 25 stories are selected from those school, from those that have been fed to the box. And it is transformed, we'll keep with that word, into a live theatrical performance with acrobatics and music and singing and dancing, and is kind of performed live for those students in their cafeteria on their stage by professional actors. Really high quality professional actors. And then the students whose stories were featured in the performance are called up on stage as authors.
Exactly.
And it's just such an incredibly empowering experience for young authors. And we see those kids' faces just filled with the idea that I can write, I can create, and that my ideas have value. And that's something that I don't think young children hear often enough.
You know, I don't know how to reinforce that. Whatever, you know, we have a tendency to raise up the athletic performances and the like, which I think are all fine and good, but some of these type of in the creative space get underestimated. I mean, it's one thing to have it all posted on a studio or published in a book, but to have it performed, particularly in our world of visual, you know, YouTube videos, you name it, is how important that is.
I think an interesting thing about stories is that we've been at a couple schools for several years, and the kids are now starting to write about literacy, reading, and the whole concept of literacy being an important part of their life.
So that's great. You've enrolled new board members and advocates right by coming back. Well, I know the statistics from the year I was quoting from is that you had over 5,500 children write stories that resulted in close to 7,000 stories.
That's
so
right.
You know it would be fun. I mean, it's terrific you performed it, but someday to go back and mine across those stories to see if there's any general themes, or certainly the one of promoting literacy to the next level would be really a great social science study, I'll say. Well, that's great. So tell me, before we run out of time, you know, we're here at the Tucson Festival of Books, but certainly there's ways in which, you know, your collective organization, Literacy Connects, could benefit from additional help. And so what would those be, Carmen, or Tamara, how could we help you? How could our listeners help your organization?
Well, for nonprofits, I think across the world, the biggest needs are financial support. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the passion of the people who bring those programs to life. And we are really very much privately funded by individual contributions. We do have some smaller contracts, and we do work hard at our grant writing efforts. But, Carmen, do you remember the percentage?
We're about 40% funded by individual donations.
That's right. Yeah.
And we need everybody in the community to support us.
That's right, and that you can learn specifically how to donate, I'm sure, with a little buy here click button at literacyconnects.org. I know also that you're always welcome and interested to have people sponsor events.
We'd love that.
To get your word out. I was reading some of your literature, and one thing that I thought was very striking, that's a call for all of us, is to be mindful that we need to put some energy into destigmatizing help for older individuals. That tutoring a child is one thing, but it's certainly your coaches, I'm certain, have a different training background and so on to be able to work with adults.
Just if I could take a minute, the adults that come forward to us, it takes such courage in this community where if you don't know how to read and you're functionally illiterate, but you have spent so much energy faking your way mm-hmm. with your employer because You're very smart. You just don't have that skill set. And we're working with employers to recognize that, you know, if you can give people time off. I mean, we meet the student where and when they can, but to destigmatize and say, I support you in your effort to learn, this would be a really big transformation for the community.
And, you know, that goes for almost anyone, whether you're carrying a physical, social, or mental disability. That what we quite often find, though, is those individuals have absolute brilliance and off-the-chart strengths in other categories. So if imagine that they've gone through their life, through schooling of some sort, to be gainfully employed but yet not read, what other phenomenal gifts they must bring to the party. And if you can match it with opening these additional doors of reading and writing, how much more engaged and actually the role modeling that offers to other employees around skills and teaming up and sharing.
And it for the children, it provides a wonderful role model of it's never too late to learn.
That's right. Well, here we are. This is the 5th annual Tucson Festival of Books, and I know the attendance has gone from 50,000 to 150,000, so we'll see what we're going to get for the next 2 days. But for both of you, what's your wildest dream that you could think that could come as a result of today's event?
Wow, wildest dream. I wasn't prepared for that question. Just that every individual community member in Tucson recognize the vital role that literacy plays in their lives, mm-hmm. that it is not simply someone being able to read the words on the paper, that is the ability to interact and learn and be able to access services, being able to fill out a job application, understanding the the instructions from your doctor to make sure that you're taking care of yourself in the correct way. Literacy is so much bigger, and I would love to just have every single person come down to the festival, although all of our sessions and workshops and panels will be very full at that point, and just experience what a celebration of words and imagination and that voice really can mean to each person.
That's exactly well put. Carmen, how about you?
I'd like to encourage everybody to come and visit our booth.
Sure, please.
And my wildest dream is that the festival books be as successful or more so than last year, and that more people participate in all of the offerings that they have, and to really thank the festival books for sponsoring us as the beneficiaries of this great event.
And that legion of volunteers from all around Tucson that make this wonderful event happen. Well, thank you very much. Again, we've had Carmen Marriott and Tamara McKinney from Literacy Connects here in Tucson. It's www.literacyconnects.org. Or for those you'd rather call and talk to someone, it's 520-882-8006. So thank you very much, ladies. I'll catch up with you at your booth and see you in the course of the next couple days.
Thank you, Zara.
Thank you very much for having us.
Pleasure to have you with us, you bet. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.